Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am excited today. I've got a great guest. His name is Stephen Pope, and he's with SGP Labs. He's a software dude. We're going to talk about how to strategize the creation of something. So, hey, Stephen, man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of a crazy time, but family's doing well. And so overall, doing good.
It's a good place to be. So let's get into your backstory, because I like people to get to know you. So how did you go from selling your uncle paper computers, like computers made out of paper, to helping other companies develop and create software for those paper computers? I'm assuming they're real computers that you're working with nowadays, right?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. So the quick backstory is, I've always been an entrepreneur, an inventor, and that led me to, to be an engineer, because I needed to build the stuff that I was working on. So, I was doing, selling paper computers, of course, and then doing the lemonade stand and selling Cokes at the 4th of July. And then I started building stuff really just to, help me in my daily life, really, like organizing my baseball cards, building software around that kind of stuff. So really just always building. I eventually got a degree in computer science. I pretty much always knew what I was going to be doing. And I got a degree in computer science. And right after that, I started a software company and was building software, directly building software for, entrepreneurs, just starting their startups, medium-sized companies who are building technology to run their business. They weren't necessarily considering themselves technology companies, but really everyone is right now. So, and then even working with some big companies like Fortune 10 companies like United Healthcare and Apple, helping them build up their projects. And I, worked with a great team, brought on a great partner, and we were able to build that business up, doing several million dollars a year, and we were a team of 25. And then over that time, building software and really quite organically, I ended up selling that company. And then I was like, well, what do I do now? So I decided that I would take all of that knowledge that I had come up with in terms of running a business, running a team, and building software. And it's like, okay, how can I put these things together to work with other businesses and really help them strategize on how they're building software and build something unique and a product that would really help them go faster, produce better results, reduce the risks they were encountering, and help them save money and help them build better products.
Cool. Well, when I graduated from DeVry with a degree in electronics, I'm going, okay, what the heck am I going to do with this?
Right.
It's like, because basically what I wanted to do was, if I couldn't be a musician playing on the road, I wanted to be a roadie and fix amps. I mean, that was my goal.
Yeah, that's cool.
But one of the things that I learned from that was that I learned how to troubleshoot.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that, no sound is coming out of a speaker. Most people unplug the speaker. And what I learned was, no. You start at the source. You start the tape player, then you go to the amp, then you go to the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave you a process that I learned on how to troubleshoot things. That same thing happens today. Now, that was little did I know I'd be using that skill in business. So what kind of things did you learn in the first company that you worked in that you're starting to apply to the new company?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I guess it really comes down to a few different things, like from the management level and then the business level and, also, the software level. And it's interesting that you bring up the amp stuff like that, because in software, it's very much the same thing. It's like, when software has problems and you're trying to debug stuff, it's like there's a big difference in engineers and how they're able to diagnose those issues. And it's usually the ones that are the most systematic, just like how you were evaluating the amp. It's like, are you following kind of like a process, and are you only attacking one thing at a time? Are you going through these steps very systematically? Because it's when you start to try to do two things at once and you're turning two knobs at the same time that it makes it impossible for you to actually figure out the issue, and you just get stumped. So I think that's one of the big things that I bring to the table with my new endeavor, the new framework that I'm working out with companies, is helping them focus on one thing and not get so overwhelmed turning all these dials that they really just can't, they really can't get the outcome they want because it's just too overwhelming.
So, you know, you're speaking to an audio engineer. You're talking my language when you say twisting dials and knobs and stuff.
Well, I like to use those analogies too, because I think it's the same way in software. It's like, too often it just becomes this discussion about technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's more than that. I mean, it's about people and process, and it is kind of like, I mean, it's about people. So I don't want it to remove the humanity from it, but there is a certain machine-like quality to building software.
Yeah, and I look at building software kind of like building a business. I mean, one of the things that I really focus on, and I call myself a systems integrator. I mean, I'm a marketing guy. You know, the end result ends up on Facebook or LinkedIn, but you know, there's way, way more complexity to that. It's defining the audience. It's understanding what message is going to attract them or engage them or show them some emotion. And, you know, how do you put pictures to words? And, you know, is it video? Is it print? You know, there's a lot that goes into it. The end result is what people see, but there's a lot more behind the scenes. So when you're defining a system, so to speak, you know, what are the parts? What are the things that you think about? Obviously, you're working with people, you're working with computers, you're working with customers. How do you kind of systematize this in a way that makes sense not only to the people you're working with, but the, you know, the ultimate customer and user?
Yeah, no, I love the fact that you brought up marketing, because that's definitely been one of the driving factors for me in making this leap from where I was before to what I'm trying to do now. Because once I left the last company, like I said, it was very organic, and the way we grew, which was awesome. But then I realized when I'm starting this new business, I don't want it to take that the length of time it takes to do that kind of growth. So I started studying marketing, and I started kind of noticing the difference between, like, marketing is all about delivering results and iterating through ideas. And then I started learning about what consulting really was versus like being a contractor. Are you a contractor doing like hourly work, or are you developing results? So it all became, it wasn't really something that, I mean, it was something that I did, but I didn't intellectually understand it. It's like, I started realizing, like, what is delivering results? And how do you, what is a return on investment? And so how can you conceptualize the end game? It's like, what are you really trying to do? You know, it's like you're developing a product, and the product is supposed to be delivering specific results to people. Like, if we stay on marketing, you know, if your software is delivering leads or sales, it's like, are you committed to delivering those items to your customer? Or are you more committed to like delivering features, which you think are going to help them, but aren't actually necessarily helping them? So are you focusing on the end result? And if it's a business, it's like, you know, what are we here to do? It's like, well, you know, it's to make money. It's to build better efficiencies. It's to build a good team, to make a happy team. There's these end results that you're trying to do. So it's like, how can I work with like a business owner or a CEO or a founder to establish what those are, really build, you know, metrics around those things, and then help them think through in a reverse way, like how can we, you know, work with the leadership? How can we work with the people on the ground doing all the work to achieve those results and get everybody in line with that? So the why, so to speak, like why are we doing all this, is consistently passed down to everyone in a consistent way so that they feel a part of it, they're making an impact, and they can see how their work is affecting everything, as opposed to instead of trying to like get everybody to be productive, you know.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. I mean, it's, you know, there's one thing about having output, there's another thing about having, you know, output with results. And that's, you know, the book I'm working on is called Toilet Paper Marketing. The whole concept of it is people will throw money at things and they'll get numbers back. You know, it's like, hey, you know, we've generated X amount of leads for you. You know, but if all those leads that people are generating are in India and they're never going to buy from you, who cares? You know, I'd much rather have, you know, two leads locally than 2,000 from India, because, you know, the chances of selling, the amount of work I have to do is going to be a heck of a lot less. So I think, you know, you bring up a bunch of good points, and part of it is, you know, understanding the system. Part of it is working with the personalities of the people. What kind of experiences have you had, or can you bring up a story that, you know, can kind of crystallize what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, like, you know, in my previous business, it was, you know, we did a really good job at being productive. We were a virtual team, and we were always a virtual team. I mean, I guess to take a step back, it's like we were very much, you know, a metrics driven company. We were looking at everything and seeing how, we were tracking time and trying to maximize this and trying to maximize that. But what I did find, it was like, you know, if you think about a train, it was very much like a situation where it felt like you were pushing the train from behind, instead of like showing everybody like what the results could be and how they fit into those different things. And instead of saying like, you know, how productive or accurate are you on this? It's like, how do you play into this, this bigger piece? Instead of pushing the train, which has a lot of resistance, it's like, how are you pulling the train towards like a specific goal and iterating on that goal and iterating on how you're communicating with people towards a specific result and like how they fit into that. Again, it's like, I like that you're a marketer, because a lot of my inspiration has come from this. It's like education and like, how are you pulling people towards something and achieving a result? People want to say, hey, I really made an impact on this person or this client or this project, and know how that fits into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when I'm doing good, when my customers give me feedback, and, you know, it's usually happy feedback.
Right.
You know, and when they say great job as opposed to, hey, nice, or, you know, when they go above and beyond to let you know that you did something, yeah, it's a lot more rewarding having that than just saying, hey, you were very productive today.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, like, we got a lot of that feedback, and software in general is, and companies are still missing that same link. Like, marketing caught on to that. Like, seems like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, marketing was like a different beast almost, but like in the last 5 years, it became so results oriented. I felt like technology was missing that piece. It so often, like, you know, technology and business, there's like this separation where it's like the business side comes up with what they want to do, and then it becomes a project that the technology team works on. And there's this kind of like separation of like where the results are. And so that's the kind of the innovation I wanted to bring to, you know, the next level of like helping companies do this kind of thing.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, the way that marketing has changed is, we used to measure things very differently. I mean, and it was like web hits on a website were random because you'd look at each different hosting platform's way of looking at hits. And then all of a sudden Google Analytics comes out, and now you have something that is universal. Everybody has Google Analytics. You can measure yourself against other companies. So now you've got a benchmark that tells you whether you're being successful. Now, you know, that benchmark changes based on where people are at too, because, you know, some companies, 300 hits a month is great. Other companies, 300,000 hits is great. You know, it really depends on your niche. It depends on the need. So I think one of the things as a business owner is you have to define what success is to you. So what is the way that you go to your customers and help them define what success is?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that just comes down to, it's like, what are the goals, and like trying to get them to focus on something specific. Cause what I do find is a lot is that they really haven't, you know, they haven't necessarily defined what those successes are. With software development, you can get very lost in features and rolling things out. So it's kind of like, hey, in 6 months, you know, where do you want to be? You know, like, if you're doing this thing for a customer, it's like, how can we really define, how can we really start to track the results that you're providing for a customer? Really starting to get them to think about it. Because like I said, like when I started to do, when I sold the business and I started rethinking about what I wanted to do, you know, thinking from a results point of view wasn't actually all that natural for my brain. So it was like, it was more like trying to develop the pathways to even think that way. Cause, when you first start to think about like results, there can be challenges to even just thinking that way. And then I've seen this kind of roadblock. It's like, they can't really necessarily envision doing that, but it's partly just because they don't have the pathways to think that way. So you just have to start, you grasp at something, and then oftentimes it might not necessarily be the final result that you actually want. So then you tweak it, but the goal is to make a leap, to pick something, start to work on it. If it wasn't the original, if it's not the right thing to begin with, fine, but continue to iterate on that and continue to think about the results. And the more you do that, the more like you're kind of in a dark room, and it's not natural, but then it starts to kind of feel better over time. And then as that muscle is exercised, then you really start to hone in on it. You're getting feedback from the market, you're getting feedback from your team, and you're getting feedback from like the actual hypotheses that you're putting forth in terms of the software development. And then it starts to become more natural, and you start to actually be able to measure this stuff. But I think a lot of it for me is just like starting to get people to think that way. Cause you know, when they're with their CFO, or it's just the founders talking with themselves, they're thinking about business, but they haven't connected the dots all the way through their technology processes, so that the whole team is thinking results. And so it just takes some time to kind of, you know, really build those neurons in your head that you can do it, and you just have to start and practice.
So if you were to look into your crystal ball, what would be the one actionable thing that you think that people need to start paying attention to today in order to be competitive or efficient or whatever it is, say a year from now? What's the one thing that's going to change that's going to make the biggest difference in business when it comes to software development or process?
I think this results-oriented perspective is going to be the game changer, because you know, right now it's like, I think people underestimate the, like, software is getting easier to build. So I think there's a certain like overconfidence, so to speak, with building software. So I noticed this a lot, is like a lot of people just like, I've got this taken care of. But if you think about it, it's like, well, if you got it taken care of, then everyone else does. So like, how are you going to be competitive over everyone else? So just because there's an availability of all these companies out there that can build technology and do it relatively well, and technology is still hard to build, but like the competitive advantage is going to be like how much faster can you go than everyone else? How can you pivot faster than everyone else? How can you make sure all the things that you're doing are measurable and you can improve on them, as opposed to it just being this gut feeling? Because you know, developing technology is going to get easier, but you've got to develop new ways of doing it pretty much better than the competition. And I think that's going to be this results-oriented development process where, you know, you actually see the picture like a machine. And going back to our original thing is like you got dials and levers that you know that when you pull this or turn that, you know, certain specific things are going to happen. And you know that because you've engineered this thing and it's able to adjust and move and it's been measured.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's, you know, what you're saying is very akin to the website development business. So, you know, when I started way back in 1997, I mean, everything was hand coded. And then we started getting tools where you could build things. And then, you know, it was HTML and everything was HTML. Then it went to dynamic with WordPress. And now you can go on GoDaddy and Squarespace and, you know, you could build a website overnight with great images for free, you know. And it's like, but what's really missing is the core. The content, the process, the end game.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like anybody can build anything for free. But the question is are you driving traffic to it? Is it doing what you want it to? You know, so your lesson here is very, you know, very driven towards that results marketing, which I love. So Stephen, this has been great, man. And I really appreciate your time and coming on and kind of sharing your process and the way that you do things. If people wanted to get a hold of you, learn more about you and your company, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so they can always find me on my website, sgplabs.com. And then you can always find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there, posting content about this stuff that we're talking about here. And feel free to email me as well at Stephen with the PH, STEPHEN at sgplabs. All those ways are great, and appreciate any feedback from anyone, and I'd be free to answer any questions to help people out on this stuff.
Awesome, Stephen, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps, and I appreciate you so much, and look forward to talking to you again soon, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's a real honor. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.